Hi there. Welcome back to the I'm Still Here podcast with Tammy Lawrence, Symbolisti. Many of us have lost loved ones, and it brings a significant change in our lives. Our loved ones, however, would want us to continue to live on, being that we are still here. It's important for us to take care of our mental health as we move forward. So our intention is to continue to discuss grief, but widening our focus so that we might discuss other ways to help us live our lives. My hope is you continue this journey along with us as we shift to explore our new world with our loved ones hidden by our sides. Hi there. Today we are speaking with Ken Stearns. Ken is a writer, an author, podcaster, lyricist, and photographer. He is a well-traveled and seasoned Midwestern kid. Beginning his third act of life, he traded in his suit, being an insurance executive in Asia, for a van, a microphone, and some questions. These questions came to him as he was creating a book called Dear God, Letters to God. He's risked everything he saved to chase his dreams. Hi, Ken.
Thanks, Tammy. Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm in a good space. You know, just kind of in between. I broke up this project I'm doing. into two parts, and I'm getting ready for the second half. So I've been kind of resting and regrouping over the Christmas holidays, and then a little time to research my next book, and getting back on the road at the end of the month. Very excited. Kind of feeling excited because it's starting over again. I have a different view than when I began.
Mm-hmm. And for listeners that don't know, can you explain what that is all about, what that project is?
Yeah, so I came up with this, and it's one of those things where people may ask me, how did you come up with it? And, I don't know. I'm a conduit for somebody else's idea, I feel. And I was in this great space writing the book. I was in COVID. I was in a big lockdown for a long time. I was overseas, and I had the plan to come back. And slowly things came together, an idea I had long ago, tour the country when I came back, and that crossroads of not wanting to sign another contract, time to come home, time to quit, finish the corporate career and find my third act. What am I going to do when I'm 70 and 80? I want to do something, interesting and fun and live my life. And I came up with this idea to travel to 111 cities and interview 444 people. Four in each city. So every 4 days, change cities and go meet four new people. And I have this ginormous jar, where I've got four of them, and I had these built to hold the questions. And the questions come from, as you said, they come from the book, and it's 444 pre-printed questions. And it's a fresh start with every person. We sit down and they pull a card and we talk about it, or they talk about it. They share their view of the question, what it means to them. And then they share, the answer based on their life experience. And we just do that for about an hour and a half. And it's really wild because the questions are deep and the person picks their own question. So it's kind of got a little deterministic fate feel to it. And it's a powerful hour and a half for me and the guest.
It sounds amazing, but I have to ask, why did you pick 111?
Yeah, it was because it's 444 divided by four.
You're confusing me, Ken. I suck at math.
Yeah, I know. I'm not the greatest at math, but numbers are weird to me. When I was writing the book, it's really weird. This four, the number four, and then 44, and then 444 was appearing, like the universe was showing me the number. And to a point where I couldn't ignore it. It was very strange. Like I would start seeing it and then I would see it like heavily and repeated in different formats and different places. And so I knew I was on the right path and I was writing the book and I'm like, knew I was doing something, the right thing. And so I don't know how all the ideas or the numbers kind of worked out.
Yeah. I'd have to look that up in numerology. I can't remember what 444 means, but
yeah. Something there's two versions of it in the ones. I can't remember which is which, but it is kind of like angels are, you're on the right path.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of what I think the number, and it's angels are helping you or following you. So it's a great, it's an angelic number, also a north, a true north number. You're kind of mm-hmm. going in the right direction and people are helping you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Speaking of which your mother passed away. And that was one of the ways I understand that you got into this with the word, with the word faith.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I started this book a long time ago, this idea of a book called Dear Dad. And the idea was my dad passed away when I was about 28 and I hadn't even left for Asia. And I had all these 20 years of really great corporate stuff and also hardships, terrible times. At times you'd want to call your father, you know, you want to call your dad, you know, great thing. Dad, I got promoted. Dad, I got fired. You know, what do I do? Like all these, you know, these things you've got in life that you'd love to have somebody you connect with, you know, you trust your dad and that's a relationship. And I didn't have that. So I came up with the idea to write the letters. And then visiting my mom over the years, her faith was super strong. Like she was very devout Catholic and, you know, it kind of had an impact on me. So somewhere, I don't remember where, but somewhere on those airplanes coming back from seeing her, I started the idea of Dear God, asking God about these things that mystified me about my mom in a way. And faith was the first one that had the most, you know, the best amount of writing. But I put all that stuff in a drawer for, I don't know, a few years. And I picked up, and then some years later, I bought a guitar with the intention of playing for a couple of years, practicing. And I promised myself I'd get a good guitar and a teacher. And I'd give it a try, you know, at 54, as you do. And not intending to be a rock star, but just for, you know, for my, I don't know why, but I just felt compelled to try it. And this was my strategy. And soon, before I knew it, my guitar teacher was telling me, we should write a song. We should write a song. And every other week kept peppering me with this, we should write a song. And finally, one day I went, you know, I have some words written down. And I think from this letter called Faith, I probably can highlight some words I wrote that could make a verse, a couple verses, and maybe a chorus. And so we pulled out these old ragtaggedy notes and brought out a highlighter and then started writing a song. And then, you know, within that Sunday, we had written the concept and most of the words, just a matter of rearranging them and getting the music to it. And that really lightened me up. I loved writing songs. And it was like, okay, I need to write another song. And we wrote another song from the words I had. And before I knew it, I was out of words. I had only written a few letters. So I started writing the book again so I could write more songs. Mm-hmm. So I could steal words from the lyrics, from the words. Because I didn't know how to song write. You know, I just knew how to write words. So, but I could steal I knew how to pull words from the letters. So before I knew it, I was really working on the construct of the book. And that ended up being the powerful part. And I wrote a couple songs and they were fun. But really, for me, the amazing part was it led me down the road to finish the book.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like you're just playing.
I am. I'm just playing along. Yeah. And let me give you some background of the book, because I think it's kind of cool, especially with what you do and the place you're in. It's got some really good, I'd say, like holistic construct to it. And the way I looked at the way I divided it up and kind of the way it came to me, really. You know, honestly, some of these are not my ideas. You know, I feel like I am, I've got a muse and I am really just the channel. Right. I'm the guy typing the words that someone tells me to write. So there's four parts to the book. The first part I call the book of self, and then the book of others, the book of all, and the book of you. And so in the first book, there's three letters in each one. And the first one is, in the book of self, it's yesterday's, today's, and tomorrow's. And I call it kind of the slang is the battlefield of your mind. Mm. And it's how you look at and interpret and live with your past. It's how you act and think about your today, what you do today, what's important today, what you value today, and how you self-talk about today, and what you self-talk about the future, tomorrow, you know, your tomorrows. What is that? And what is a tomorrow? So I go into, you know, I go into some depth on that, on those. And I like that because it's really about yourself. And boy, man, if we can manage the thing between our two ears, you know, we're in a great space. Then the book of others is acceptance, forgiveness, and compassion. And I think in a personal relationship between you and another person, those are really good attributes for me to kind of walk through life. And if you can hone those skills, you're going to be a good person. You know, find and I explore them, and I won't go into some of the concepts, but you can imagine, you know, acceptance is not always, you know, acceptance comes in many forms, right? That I don't have to agree with you. I don't have to approve what you do, but I can accept who you are and how you got there. And so it's kind of like this kind of conversations with God, and there are letters to God saying, did I get this right? You know, am I on the right path with this? This is kind of what I've gleaned from my 50 years. Then the book of all is love, karma, and service. And I think, you know, having love for humanity, you know, and going through life with some love for people, having that treat other people like you want to be treated idea of karma. And kind of, for me, that's a kind of a summation of it. And then definitely being in service to others and the power of that. And I think, you know, the world's a better place. We're all better people if we can find that kind of love and karma and service mindset. And then the last one is Book of You, which would be God, and, you know, or your or creator or higher power or enlightenment or depending on where you're at in that spectrum of spirituality or not. And that's faith, hope, and prayer. And so prayer can be mindfulness, you know, meditation, this kind of thing, but it's, you know, kind of coming to that center of yourself and examining who you are. And so this is the construct of the book, and the questions all come from those ideas. You know, and love is fun because, you know, kind of love, for example, I've got each topic has got four parts. And so love, for example, is I kind of explore the idea of self-love being the most important. Without self-love, love is difficult for other people. Loving somebody else is the kind of the second step. And then accepting love. Because, you know, really, and those might be out of order, but basically you got to love yourself first. Then you can either love somebody else. Otherwise, it's a broken love, truly. It's a dependent love. And loving, being able to accept love, you know, being in a place where you love yourself or you accept yourself to where you can allow someone else to love you and you can feel that warmth of that connection. And then finally, of course, it's teaching love, showing other people what love looks like in your daily life or just how you are as a human or children. Even more powerful is showing children what love looks like, and loving yourself and teaching kids the importance of self-love.
I think that's a big talk. Like that is so, there's so much in that. When we say, talk about unconditional love, that's really hard for people to understand because most people want to love with condition.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, I honestly believe that is a bit still, there's some self part that they haven't accepted. Mm-hmm. You know, I think if there's conditional love, you can't love yourself 100%. You might like yourself. You might accept things, but you haven't found that space where you're fully. I mean, you have to accept yourself. If you're conditionally loving somebody else, I 100% guarantee you have conditional love on your own self.
Absolutely. And how do we love that inner critic, that part that is so hard on us every day? You know, it's nattering in the background of the mind and not stopping. Like, how do we love that part?
Yeah. This is like, okay, that's a question of the ages, right? This is a fun part. Actually, it's a really good question, Tammy. I don't, you know, you're going to make me really ponder, is that part of the book that I missed? The how. Yeah. Right. The techniques. And maybe that's a training class, maybe not a training class, but maybe that's a conversation, you know, where you kind of hopefully can teach that or share that. Maybe people can share how they do it, how they feel about it. The how is a great question. And that might be the speaking part of the series or the written part where we work through workbooks. It's a powerful question.
Okay, folks, you heard it here. We've got Ken on a new path.
Yeah, thanks, Tammy. You broke my weekend.
Jack Canfield, the author of Chicken Noodle Soup for the Soul series, he says when we get into this inner critic or whatever, when we're having times when we have thoughts that we're not wanting, we should say cancel, and then replace it with a thought that we do want to have. So that's one thing people could use. I'm sure there are tons of techniques.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah, that's one that's really helpful.
I do like that. Just cancel. Sorry. Not fly. It does not fly. Does not compute.
Yeah.
insert a new. And that's, you know, stopping that inner conversation is a powerful technique for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love those other concepts too. Because I think even when you're talking about the others and finding service and finding compassion, these are all things that should start with self first and finding those to dive deeply with them and then share them after you've learned it for your own self.
Yeah. And that's the idea. When I wrote a physical representation of the idea, I squared a circle, and the circle was the inner circle. There's a few circles. The inner one was self. And then the next outer circle was others. And the outer circle was all. And then I squared that inside the God box or the higher power. What, like I said, whatever, you know, whatever your vernacular is, whatever your belief, wherever you're at on that spectrum. But all of that is boxed inside of that human universal spirit that we're all connected to.
For sure. And it really goes into this whole idea of it's Ayurvedic thinking, yogic thinking, where they say that we are all just God experiencing itself.
Mm. I love that. We are all just God. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a great discussion the other day. I'm going to forget his last name, Phil. But he was sharing with something I didn't understand. And it's really... And maybe you know something, maybe because of your yoga studies and that side of the spirituality or consciousness. He was saying that every person we're made up, we all have our own electrical, our own unique frequency that we vibrate on. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that. And he was saying that the body, the physical representation, is attached to the energy. And I always kind of thought this idea that the energy came into the body at conception or at birth or somewhere, the soul, where does that energy, where does our, because energy is not this created, not destroyed. We are these little energy balls. And wow, where does that happen? And I thought, I had it backwards. I thought the physical form was here. And then the energy found us, the soul found us. But actually, the way he said it, I'm having a real hard time getting my head around it, but it's amazing that the energy is there and we are basically, and then eventually this physical representation of us breaks down slowly over time. And then obviously eventually the physical part dies and then the energy lives on. But it was really, it kind of blew my mind. He kind of reversed my whole thinking on how this works. It's really interesting.
Yeah, for sure. And it's changing that vibrational energy field that does naturally exist. So if I want to leap to the next level of my consciousness or understanding, if I dial into, I don't know, 97.7 on the radio, but I want to get to 107.1, I'll never get there unless I raise that energy field. And this is why a lot of spiritual teachers will say, meditate. Meditate is one of the best ways to get the vibration up higher than it was previously.
Is it higher or is it, because you were just giving, as you were talking, I had this other, like, as you were saying that, I thought, or is it tuning it?
It is, exactly. Yeah. Which changes, right?
Which is changing the frequency. Absolutely. Yeah. For sure, it's changing the frequency. Mm-hmm. It's like a guitar. Like, I'm just thinking it's like guitar strings, right? You're just like, you know, boing, because in the, I think when we strum ourselves, when we're humming and we're alive, we have a beautiful song that maybe other energies can feel, right? People can see it. They can hear it if we are in tune.
Yeah, absolutely. It's that whole oil and water thing. If your vibration is totally against someone else's, you're like oil and water. It'll never mix. But when you get together with others who have that same vibration as you, you just connect and you're in sync suddenly. And
Yeah. Ooh, very cool. I love that. I love that idea.
Yeah.
A little mentee, in meditation, the power of it, man. It's taken me to some good places.
Mm. What kind of meditations do you do?
I do mostly kind of this. I don't lay down. Although laying down and kind of meditating at a visionary level, kind of imagination level, I still do that, very dark, very quiet, and like an imagination thing. And I call that kind of one of my meditations. And the other one is I do a lot of sitting and just kind of like, even sometimes with my eyes open, thought. And if I can get that to that mental space where it's clear, actually I can have nature. I mean, for me too, it's like, I just spent almost a month at my sister's place in Georgia, and it was a lake house, and my view with these floor to ceiling windows, it was a sunroom, and it was just the Georgia pines, these pines with, very high, the needles are very high, the branches are very high. So you just see all these pine trees kind of laid out in this, until you can't see anything but a wall of pine trees, right? And just staring at that, and I can meditate. Mm-hmm. And I can just feel that, it's almost like I want to go out and hug that tree.
Yeah. One of my past yoga teachers, she said she never closed her eyes once to meditate, that everything she did was a meditation. And I think it just brings us to this moment of just being completely present and in this moment, yeah, and not being dragged away from the here and now.
I think that's kind of what I was feeling there. Mm-hmm. And when I am in that state where it's just, you are present, right? Mm-hmm. With yourself, and you're with yourself. Comfortable with yourself. And this is the self-love.
Yeah.
If you can get the self-love, I think you can sit there and meditate with your eyes open, with nature, with even amongst people. You just, you feel their energies. If you can meditate, get into that, I guess that's, in a way, you're tuning into the frequencies of everything around you. And that's meditative to me.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree. Absolutely. Yeah. So when are you getting the jar back on the road?
So I've got on the 22nd, I'll be in Charleston, South Carolina, Atlanta. I'll be 4 days in Atlanta. So it's March 22nd, and get back and I start getting some guests lined up and see who the universe is putting in front of me.
Nice. So do you have those interviews planned before you get to the cities, or you just find people when you get there?
Yeah. So great question. There's a few techniques. The one for kind of making sure we've got enough guests is Facebook, a real simple Facebook post that says, hey, we're coming to your city. Interview, sit down with the jar. And that gets some great conversations, meet some interesting people. I use LinkedIn sometimes. It's kind of a curated, sometimes there's some people I'm looking to meet, that may help the jar along the way. And then the last one is I kind of pick people up at the bar. Is what I call it. And so I'm traveling alone. So I eat alone, and sometimes I'll eat with guests, or, I'll have a meal with friends in town that I know in town and stuff. But I'm quite often eating alone, and I'll go into a restaurant or a brewery is a great example, right? A brew pub, and you've got a bar and people are sitting there, and, usually it's a couple, maybe sometimes it's a couple, but quite often it's other people, work friends or people like myself traveling, or just, somebody running out to get a beer and a burger. And we sit down and chat, sometimes just talking to the guy next to you or the lady next to you. And I have these cards. It's a business card, but it's a really interesting card because on one side is my business details, who I am, kind of what I'm doing. And mm-hmm. on the other side is a question from the show. And so I kind of get these and I pan them out. I don't have them with me. But it's it's like a little credit card thickness. Mm-hmm. And I spread them out like a pick a card. And I just say, hey, I might look to the guy next to me. I go, question of the day? About a question of the day. And they're looking, they're always like, sure. I don't know why, but it's this weirdest, it's the weirdest thing that ever happened, because I didn't know this would work, but people just love it. And they take the card and they look at the question and we start a conversation. Mm-hmm. They read the question, and they're heavy questions, right? So it's not what's your favorite color, right? It's what is love? What does acceptance mean to you? Are you, what does it feel like to be fully accepted? So these really heavy questions, from some random stranger like me. And we start a conversation, and it's, Those 2 out of 10, I can invite the person and I'll be at their home the next night.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting down with a jar. It's wild.
Yeah. It sounds like putting some meat and potatoes into your life, you know, for lack of a better way to describe that.
I have put some serious meat and potatoes in my life.
That is so awesome. Thank you so much for sharing your time today with us and your energy. Also, where could people find you if they wanted to take a look for you?
Yeah, the easiest really like one landing spot. And then from there, you can go anywhere. And in fact, now this is a great point. I just remembered, if you go to thejar.live, so www.thejar.live, if you go there now, we've got the prompt for your email and stuff, but you can get the first, you can get the Book of Self downloaded for free. It's just a simple black and white PDF, nothing fancy, but it's the words. And then you can find out a little bit more about you can find out about your yesterdays, your todays, and your tomorrows, you know, what my views on those are. And that's available. Like I said, just register your email and you get the link, at thejar.live, and you can find my book and my tour and all that stuff.
Perfect. We'll put that in the show notes so people can click over and see what you're up to.
Yeah. Borrow some words.
Yeah. There you go. And in the meantime, figure out how to squash that inner critic.
Good luck with that. Send me a message. Hey, one other thought, real quick, Tammy, is I'm starting a mental health podcast. Mm-hmm. And if there is anybody that is in the space, you know, any kind of mental health space, or even you've gone through some mental health, journey, right? You're on that journey and you've got some views on the industry itself or techniques or ideas. I've also got a show I've started on that. And, you know, drop me a note through the website if anybody would like to be a guest.
Perfect. That's great. I hope everyone has a great day. And thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you for listening. We're grateful to our guests for sharing their experience and their knowledge with us. Please be sure to like, subscribe, and share this podcast with others who might find it helpful. Be sure to follow up our links on social media, which were offered in the show notes. A special shout out to Kevin McLeod and Incomputech for our background music entitled Happy Dreams. Wishing you a fabulous day.